This is caucus day in Iowa, officially kicking off the 2016 presidential nominating races. Michigan's primary will not be until March 8th, but with close races on both sides, our senior political analyst Jack Lessenberry thinks Michigan could play a major role in choosing the presidential nominees of one or both parties. And others agree, and that includes the Hillary Clinton campaign, which this weekend called for adding a Democratic debate with Senator Bernie Sanders in Flint just ahead of our primary. Jack, your piece in Dome magazine points out that March 8th will mark something that hasn't happened in Michigan since 1992, which is?
Both parties are using the primary to pick their convention delegates. The Democrats in most recent years have used some sort of bizarre caucus system, but this time we have in 1 year, 2004, we had no primary at all, but then this year we have both parties taking the primary seriously and two contested races on each side.
So if we turn up to cast a vote, and we'll talk about that a little later about how unlikely it is that people do, but let's say we turn up to cast a vote March 8th. We know now we can ask for a ballot from either party, and there aren't any other races that day, right? So Michigan stands alone.
There may be some local option races somewhere, but I'm not aware of any. It's pretty much just a straight presidential primary vote, and while we have no party registration in Michigan, you have to request either a Democratic or a Republican ballot.
What's at stake is winning national convention delegates. So if Donald Trump and, let's say, Bernie Sanders win Michigan's primary, do they get all the national convention delegates?
Oh, no. Some of them are held out. Both parties, Democrats do more of this than Republicans. There's some sort of, sometimes they call them superdelegates, who are party officials and office holders. And of the rest, each party is slightly different, but there's a complex system where they're divided proportionally. You have to get at least 15% of the vote to get any. But it's very unlikely, virtually impossible, that anybody would get all of them.
Do you think for the average citizen this is just too politically arcane for them to wrap their minds around?
The average citizen doesn't vote in anything except a presidential election. We don't have more than 50% turnout in any other election than that. But I think this year there's somewhat more interest because you've got, you know, really, usually by this time you know who at least one party's nominee is going to be, and there's usually somebody who is a huge favorite in the other party. But this year, that's not the case, and you have these insurgent candidacies of Donald Trump on the Republican side, Ted Cruz on the Democrats, Bernie Sanders, who weren't even supposed to be factors in this race, and that sort of has added interest. But even so, I'd be amazed if we get even 25% of the vote for people to show up.
And as you pointed out in your piece for Dome here, the state is spending millions and millions to hold the primary, and what we saw, 1 out of 6 registered voters in 2012.
Well, that's right. You should have somewhat more this time. Ironically, the biggest turnout we ever had was in 1972 when the Democrats were embarrassed. The primary was held the day after George Wallace was shot, and he won the primary by a landslide. A lot of people crossed party lines and voted for him. But since then, it's been a pretty mild and modest affair, and Michigan has often sort of screwed up. 1 year, they held the primary so early that both parties got in trouble with the national convention. Other times, people have won the primary who weren't factors when the convention actually came about. But this could be different this year, and it also could be, nobody's saying this, but it could be a case where you got to the convention and nobody has a majority of the delegates.
Wow. You do talk about the big mo, that is one important thing presidential hopefuls could get from Michigan. Talk some more about the big mo.
Well, what happens, in fact, there's a very funny, hilarious congressman who once ran for president named Mo Udall. And not connected to the Big Mo, but he pointed out, he said, this whole thing is like a football game where the first team to score, after that, they only have to get 2 yards for a first down, and their touchdowns count 21 points each, and the other team has to play catch-up. So, realistically, in the past, if somebody sort of sweeps the first several primaries, they're pretty much a cinch for the nomination, because the other candidate's money dries up, because nobody wants to give money to a loser, and it costs such an astronomical amount of money to run for president these days. Now, of course, that's not the case for Donald Trump, who has slightly more money than God and can do whatever he wants for as long as he wants. But if you see, for example, some of these candidates, these lesser-known candidates, perhaps maybe Huckabee and Carly Fiorina, folks like that, if they do very poorly in Iowa and New Hampshire, they're pretty much all done. And then after that, you have South Carolina, Nevada. And then on March 1st, there's a bunch of states, mainly southern states, that go. But when Michigan votes a week later, most states still won't have voted. Most of the candidates will probably still be in the race. And Michigan could really be a factor in pointing out who might be nominated.
Jack Lessenberry is Michigan Radio's senior political analyst. As always, thanks so much, Jack.
My pleasure.